Everyone, give me one moment here. The first one is that we will be having a men's conference for this year. It will be held at our church, at our school. And it's from August 27th through August 28th, from 7 to 9 p.m. And so what does this men's conference entails? Well, I will show a video about it, but basically, you know, we live in a society where men are really being challenged, you know, masculinity. What is man as far as masculinity? How to date men, you know, and God kind of like relate in a sense where do we fit in? Just some questions that I think that we can, does the Bible answer, but also just how really the experience in which men, How the experience that men have on a daily basis, and how they can right there, Bobby.
No, but it doesn't go that far.
Just put it closer. There you go. Sorry. So, like I was saying, just basically solving problems, how to deal with problems, how to solve problems, how to be able as a Christian man to survive in this world of all things being challenged, you know, in the home, in the school, in the work. And I think that we as men need to kind of have that refocus, right? Be able to focus and know that God has given us tools to use so that we can be the men that we need to be. And it's unfortunate with everything that's going on within politics and just the world, the view of a man and what does that mean? And so we want to make sure biblically and also with experience, be able to show and kind of get back on track of what a man needs to, what's the purpose of a man? Amen? Don't worry, for women, we will have something as well. This is a follow-up to our VBS. And then the next one will be for moms. It will be a conference for moms. And then the next one will be in February for couples, which that one will give us a little time to maybe save up a little something and for the couples to go and have some time off, amen, together and rejuvenate that love life, amen? So that's that. The other is in regards to our sister Becky. I had spoke while I was away. I did speak to her, and I don't know, maybe you already know this, but to me, it's just a testimony of how God is still working in our lives day by day. So before I left, I know that we were praying for her because she was going to have a surgery. She needed a surgery. She was supposed to start her chemo, but they found something that was not right within the surgery that they already had done. It was either cancer or scar tissue, and both were bad, according to the doctors. So they had to go in and to verify and to check again and all that stuff. Well, we were praying for her, and so I would say a miracle happened because when they went to go and see, they didn't need to do anything at all. Amen. And so she was able to continue on with her chemotherapy, which she started, I believe it was on the 13th. So I thank God for that. We need to continue to pray for her. When I spoke to her, she had this tremendous faith. She said, it's amazing how God works, because at first I was so bummed out that, you know, I was like, God, why? And again, and I said, well, I got to trust the Lord, she said. And then when she went in, they told her that they didn't need to do the surgery. That was God confirming that he's with her still. Amen. And amen to that, amen. So that was just something I wanted to share with you guys, because I thought that was pretty awesome. And let's not stop praying, because she needs every prayer, every ounce of prayer. Okay. All right. So Today's title of the sermon is Since the Beginning of Time, God Had You in Mind. Amen. Amen. Since the beginning of time, God had you in mind. Isn't awesome? Isn't God awesome? Now, have you ever taken the time, and I'm pretty sure many of you have because you live in a wonderful place here in Washington, D.C. Well, not Washington, D.C., sorry. Washington State. I was in Washington, D.C., but Washington State. And so I'm pretty sure you guys have been in campouts, some type of campout, or even your own backyard is a campout, okay? Because some of you guys have beautiful pieces of land with just amazing, gorgeous views. And so have you looked into the immense starry lit sky at one night in awe and in grandeur and in deep beauty? Have you ever just looked and just gazed at the stars? Now, how did that make you feel is the question. What types of questions race through your mind regarding these mysteries of the universe? Or did the grandeur and deep beauty quickly fade away because your worries for this world seem to overshadow the opportunity that the Creator wanted to interject and connect the notion that it was all for you? Amen. Most of the time, we're caught racing to face the scurry demands of this world. And so we make God a part of our world, and hence we make church a part of our world. And so we go in a fast circle over and over, year after year, trying to meet demands that encompasses our lives with false and weary hope. All because we made God part of our world and church part of our world. But can it be that all along through his word, through God's word, God wanted to leave this perception that his yearning for a relationship is all we really need in this world? If we'd intently look up to the beginning of creation, we would decipher that God created this world for us. Not to be of our world, but for us to be all in his. I'd like to invite you to the beginning of the love letter in which God exclaimed through these words, his desire to interject in three areas of our lives and to show us the beginning of a sincere relationship through his first day of creation. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father in heaven, as we speak about your word, as we dive into it, Father, I pray that we can see the power, the majesty, but also that we can see your yearning desire for us to be closer and closer to you. As the world tries to pull us away, your desire is for us to genuinely be intimate in one accord. Help us to see this as we open up scriptures in the name of Jesus. Amen. Since the beginning of time, God had you in mind. So let us open our Bibles to the book of Genesis 1:1, where many of us are very familiar with these first couple of verses. I'm reading from the King James Version. There's other versions that also pretty much sum up this in the same manner, but on screen, I'll be having the English Standard Version as well. And so Genesis 1:1 begins in this manner. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says, the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. I don't know if God whispered that. I don't know if he yelled that. I don't know if he just thought that. But the words came out of his mouth and light was there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he tells us the why. Why did he create the heavens and the earth? He tells us the why. And so sometimes we ask that question, what is out there, right? What is going on? But to me, when I read scriptures, I say, He started with the heavens and earth. Why? Why? Well, if we look closely, the verse tells us the why. It says, which is because the earth was what? Formless. So the heavens can be the different atmospheres that we have, and the earth, the water on the surface. Just try to imagine that. Because there was a void, and darkness was over what? The surface of the deep waters. And so within that, he answers another why question. Through the darkness and void over the surface and of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface and got him, that God himself created. It's like he pauses and he says, let there be light, right after that. And light was there. Think about for a second. Let us ask ourselves, where would we be without light? Have you ever lost something, maybe in a campout, right? And you had your flashlight, and you're looking for that one thing that you lost. When all of a sudden, you give up because you cannot find this, whatever you're looking for, in the darkness. But then the daylight comes, then the daytime comes, and what you lost was right under your nose. It was right there all along. It was right in front of you. It was like right next to your tent or something. And you're like, but I checked. I walked through here a million times with a flashlight, and I didn't see it. Doesn't light make a difference? Light makes a difference, you see. Since the beginning of time, God had you in mind. But there is an element here that I would like to expose, which is even brighter, my friends. We can find it together in verse 1. It says there, in the beginning. Notice in some versions, when you read it, there may not be this comma there. But in others, there is. In the actual Hebrew, there is almost like a pause there in the way, in that first phrase, in the beginning. And so the reason I bring this about is because when I was in school, when I was going to, you know, studying, and I had to write a whole bunch of papers, I would never put a comma. I would never put the comma there. I would continue my sentence. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so that was a problem. That posed a problem because what I learned when I was doing my papers, after all the red marks on my papers, was that basically whenever there's a reference to time in the beginning of a sentence, there needs to be a comma. It gives the reader the perception that there was this time frame and it was of importance. Hence, when we start and we read in our Bibles, in the beginning, this is also very important. The comma is indicating time. What type of time? Well, a time in which God, the creator of the universe, intervened. He became acquainted to this world and so much more. In this instance, we ask not only what is he creating for us, but when. The when, which equates to time, indicates that there is a beginning. My friends, he indicated this time of which a relationship began. He was gifting time to us to show us his initiative. This is the time that matters because although God is in and out of time, the Alpha and the Omega, he embraces himself in a moment of time to show us that he has been there for us from the beginning. In order to have a relationship, there is a time in which it what? Begins. This is God showcasing his limitless love for us through time. Over and over again, cycle after cycle, year in and year out. There was this thing that my wife and I, when we started dating, that we would do, and we kind of still do it once in a while. The flames are still there. And it's something maybe you guys have also practiced. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. I would tell her, baby, I love you. And she would say, and then I would say, yeah, but I loved you first. Ah. You see, this is the way that God is telling you and I, hey, look up to the heavens. And side note, I loved you first. Since the beginning of time, God had you in mind. The second important element that God showcases for us is his power to create the heavens and the earth. One of my most dreaded classes, my friends, that I took in college, which was called Earth Science, I attempted this class about twice, and I said three times has to be the charm. And so as I was about to take this class, I was also taking my last class of Hebrew, in which we were actually translating the Genesis 1, the whole chapter. And it was then that it was made clear to me that we have an awesome God. As I attempted to take this class over, it just struck my mind, because as I was hand in hand reading scripture and also learning the sciences of earth, my mind was impressed, because I was able to see the overwhelming and how amazing and fine work God really did in creating the heaven and the earth. The deepness of my studies became actually real to me. Through God's power, he shows us how he creates something out of nothing. He created everything by speaking it into existence. His very own words have power to intelligently and mathematically calculating thermodynamics, law of gravity and expansion of universe, general relativity, cosmologically and constants, radiation, ozone layers, and matter. Now, you didn't have to understand all that, but today we do, because we understand that God created it. And when he created it, he created it since the beginning of time, so that you can understand that he had you in mind. So that when you breathe correctly, the air that you breathe, so that we can stay on the ground, so that we can be protected from radiation from the sun, and the list goes on and on. The text is telling us that through the matter created, you and I mattered to him the most. That it was the relationship that really counted. It was all about the relationship. The time spent and what matters the most, I believe Solomon best says it when he realized how much time he had wasted. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. I got so kind of involved here, I forgot to click here. Now lastly, these are different atmospheres, of course. Now, lastly, he spoke light into existence. Now, there have been many theories on this, and I'm going to choose the easy one, okay, just for theological purposes. God created light, and there was a problem with darkness. As the Holy Spirit hovered above the surface of the earth and the waters, some light was needed. In his observation, right? There was darkness, and as he hovered, he said, there's a problem here. Darkness is the problem. And so I'm not 100% sure on whether this light was the sunlight or something separate. But regardless, there is a contrast between darkness and light. And God saw what was needed, and he provided the solution. It caused a contrast, and in a relationship with God, he wants us to see the contrast. There is a difference when God comes to the scene. There's a difference when God comes up to the plate, and that is that he is light. It is that he is the problem solver. It is that he is what is needed in this world. Amen. Many Bible verses use this specific fragment of God creating the light when he spoke it into existence as the perfect platform to relate God to us. When he made us in his image, we were to carry that light. Amen. that identified us belonging to him. 1 John. Okay, that deleted. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship with one another. That one another is not only referring to maybe like us, but is referring to what? To him and I, or to God and us, right? 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, For God who said light will shine out of darkness is the one who has shined in our hearts for the enlightenment of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. In Ephesians 5:8, for you were formerly darkness, but now, my brothers and sisters, but now you are light in the Lord. Live like children of light. Since the beginning of time, God had you in mind. At the end of the day, taking the time to look up at the immense starry sky from this world that consumes us with its matters, we can know that the light that shines out there can shine within us. Amen? If we take the time to know our Creator. Now, this world, the way it is now, is just temporary. It is our temporary home. But today, a little more than halfway through the year, can be a new beginning. It could be a new beginning to get to know the personal God that one day will bring us to our physical new home. In the meantime, the spiritual home has to be here within us. Our mentality has to change. Once there was this little boy, and this little boy was with his father and his mother, and they went into this real estate, office. And as the boy, the parents said, son, please come here. We're going to go inside and speak to the realtor and kind of negotiate and all this other stuff for their new home. This son said, okay, dad, so he sat in the chair. There was this old gentleman sitting next to him, not too far away from him. And the boy picked up a magazine, one of those home magazines with the striking homes and all those luxuries. And the boy just flipped over the magazine. And as he's flipping over the magazine, the old gentleman comes to him and says, hey, wouldn't you like to have a home like that? And the boy looks up and says, no, I already have a home. You see, for the boy, his home wasn't this big, extravagant building and this structure. His home was his mom and his dad. His home was the relationship that he had within his parents. And in the same way, in the same matter, we can live in this world and we can call home home, wherever it is. But the reality is that we need to go home to who is our really home, which is the presence of God, being in the presence of God, being in a home where God is there for an eternity with him, will be with him for an eternity. And so before we go to this amazing home called heaven, my friends, I ask you to think this way, to change that mentality and know that it's not the place in itself of heaven and the streets of gold and the pearly gates and that's all beautiful, right? The tree of, of life. Thank you. The tree of life and the crystal clear lake and all the wonderful things. And that's all beautiful. That's part of home, but that's not home. Home is being face to face with Jesus Christ. That's home. But it doesn't start there. It doesn't start when those gates are opened. No, the invitation is started now, today, at this moment. Even though it's halfway through the year, it starts today, at this moment. And so if we read this light concept a little bit further, it does say in John 1 that in the beginning also there was this word, and the word was God, right? And then he goes on to say that he is the light, and that light gives life. And so if we want to have life, not the way that we think we should have life, but the way that God wants to give us life, then we already have to understand and have that life in us, that light shine in us. So the question today is, since the beginning of time, God had you in mind. Today, is God in your mind as well? I pray that he is. I pray that today is the day that you chose to open those gates of your heart and allow him in. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to see the majesty, the power behind your creation. And this is just a little bitsy part of it. But the most amazing thing is, Father, that you created this world with us in mind. The reason we breathe the air that we breathe is because you created these atmospheres that allow us to be able to breathe this air. You created the beautiful land and everything that's in this world, thinking of each and one of us. Not everyone likes lakes. Not everyone likes rivers. Not everyone likes oceans. But one of us do. And so everything that you created was to please us, but also to show us your grandeur and how much you want to have a relationship with us. And so I just pray as a church that we can never and we would never forget these things, and also forget that you want to start that relationship with us today. No matter where we are with our walk, maybe we have left that scene. Maybe we've gone a different way, and now you're calling us back. It is never too late, Father. We can come to you as we are and start where we left off. Thank you for being the awesome God that you are and always having us in mind, even when sometimes we don't. Thank you for your mercy and grace through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, we love you. We thank you. We can't wait to see you. And so we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.